This is Cole Zimmerman, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Warren, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Good morning, Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Randy Conan. We'll have an update from Tyler Donaldson as well. It may be the first day of spring, but another shot of snow is on the way. Beginning tomorrow, most of North Dakota is expected to receive at least 2 inches of snow. The exception would be the northeastern corner of the state. The system will include northern South Dakota and western Minnesota tomorrow as well. By Thursday, the snow is expected to extend from eastern North Dakota and west central Minnesota and pushing east. There is potential for another winter storm this weekend and early next week in the northern plains and upper Midwest, but the exact track of that system remains uncertain.
There's been a lot of talk about the coming switch from El Nino to La Nina and what it may mean for U.S. agriculture. However, Nutrien Ag Solutions principal atmospheric scientist Eric Snodgrass is more excited about the next two-week forecast.
You guys might finally get a good kick at some snow here in the next, let's call it 7 or 8 days. There's a nice setup going on in the Pacific right now, which could finally deliver a storm system that lingers enough to draw in enough cold air to actually put down some snow. And the reason why I'm a bit excited about it is because snow at this time of year, the way that it melts gives us a better chance at recovering some of that soil moisture. And anything we can recover before any sort of late spring or summer drought risk comes into play is important. So just to let you know, the chances right now of getting above a half a foot are in the 50 to 80% range, and this will be starting late this week into the weekend.
Snodgrass expects a cooler, wetter weather pattern for the remainder of March.
Before we even get into talking about El Nino and its transition to La Nina and the summer drought risk, we got to know first that we've got a good chance at some recovery of moisture via snow. Now, that also means it's going to be cooler for a little while, and I don't expect temperatures to go back to where they've been in terms of being above average, probably until we get fully into the month of April. So we're going to finish March stormy in terms of getting some moisture back in, which is good, but also finishing it cooler. So yeah, I see that even before we start talking about El Nino, La Nina, and the transition.
Allendale is out with its new acreage forecast. The brokerage firm projecting corn acreage this year at 93.4 million, soybeans 85.8 million, and the all wheat total at 47.6 million acres. USDA will be releasing its prospective plantings report on March 28th.
The weekly crop progress reports are out for key winter wheat states. 55% of the crop in Kansas is rated good to excellent, up from 53% last week. In Texas, 46% of the winter wheat has the top rating, also up 2%. Oklahoma's winter wheat conditions declined from 65 to 61%. USDA will begin its regular weekly crop progress reports April 1st.
Brian Sorensen has been selected as the new executive director for the Minnesota Wheat Research and Promotion Council and the Minnesota Association of Wheat Growers.
You know, I've been connected with farming, especially wheat farming, my whole life, and it's a passion I've always had, and it's a great opportunity to really help, you know, on both sides with the growers as well as the checkoff program. You know, there's a lot of good work to be done, and I'm excited.
Sorensen is a native of Fisher, Minnesota, and has been a program manager with Northern Crops Institute since 2018. One goal is to increase membership in MOG. He's also looking forward to telling the story of Minnesota wheat.
You know, there's a lot to be said about the value and quality that we produce. I think we can tell the story a little bit better, a little bit louder. And I think that obviously we want to make sure that we do what we can to make sure wheat is a good choice to the producers up in this region as far as, what do they put in their rotation.
Sorensen's first day on the job will be April 2nd.
Congressional negotiators have a deal over border spending, which gives lawmakers the ability to approve 6 spending bills and avoid a partial government shutdown this weekend. The 2024 Agricultural Appropriations Bill was approved last week. but a handful of these spending bills still need to be resolved. Members of the Conservative Freedom Caucus remain opposed to this spending package.
The Food and Drug Administration is proposing new regs to provide more predictable labeling for medications used for animals. That includes medication used in feed products. You're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Tuesday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is out with his supplemental budget proposal. The $226 million budget includes $16 million to support ambulance service in rural Minnesota, which has faced severe funding and staffing shortfalls. For agriculture, the Walz budget recommendation includes $4 million for the Agricultural Growth Research and Innovation, or AGRI, grants, and $3 million for nitrate treatments.
The Minnesota Senate Agriculture Committee advanced a bill to increase funding for that AGRI program. Committee Chair Eric Putnam introduced the bill.
AGRI, with the programs that they support through Department of Ag, and the flexibility that it gives the Department of Ag to respond to important issues, is too important to the state of Minnesota to let it languish. So members and Mr. Chair, the bill we have before us today will take one step towards remedying some of the budgetary shortfall that we suffered last session.
AGRI supports numerous programs, including biofuels infrastructure, crop research, meat processing, county fair grants. Without this funding bump, Minnesota Department of Agriculture Deputy Commissioner Andrea Vaubel says key programs would be affected.
As of right now, in the rider language, there's some programs that the funding does go down. So we're talking about meat processing going down about $1 million, our bioincentive payment program going down about $2.75 million, our biofuels infrastructure grant program also drops, and then the amount that we have for non-specified or non-earmarked funding also drops. And as we were talking about before, that non-earmarked allows us to be pretty nimble and get funds where they need to go within the existing programs or create new ones like the Turkey Laser Protect grant.
The bill was laid over for inclusion in an omnibus bill.
This first day of spring is also celebrated as National Agriculture Day. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack released a statement crediting farmers and ranchers for producing a secure, reliable, and accessible food supply. Vilsack also said USDA is laser-focused on creating opportunities for everyone who's involved in agriculture now and into the future.
Interest rates in a sideways commodity market has some thinking that farmland markets may begin to plateau into this first quarter of the year. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Tyler Donaldson has the story.
Thanks in large part to various headwinds, the farmland market is already slowing one full quarter into 2024. But Farmers National Company Vice President of Real Estate Operations Paul Schadig describes the farmland market as resilient.
Even with all the headwinds we've got with some declining commodity markets, interest rates where they're at, the concerns that the Fed has with profitability in ag, we're still seeing some pretty strong land values. With all that being said, we're definitely not seeing the increases that we've seen the past couple of years. What I would say is that we're definitely seeing a flattening of values. There are certain classes of land that we've seen drop off both from a value standpoint, primarily driven by lack of interest. Those high quality farms are still selling well. There's still competition for those, and that's why they're holding their value. They're not increasing unless it's just an outside instance where maybe you have some neighbors competing and they drive the price up a little bit. Nothing like what we've seen the last couple of years.
Despite the ups and downs of farmland prices over the past few decades, Schadig remains surprised at how land continues holding its value despite its significant headwinds.
We tend to go through a cycle and it resets at a different level. It is rather surprising that we're not seeing a more definitive adjustment, like coming to a screeching halt. But I think that really goes back to the way that people in agriculture have operated the past 25 years, where they went through the 70s and the 80s and how tough that was, and they've made smarter choices and handled their finances better. And so there are still some individuals out there with some cash ready to deploy it at the right time.
Competition over prime farmland is expected to continue in the future.
My opinion is that we've kind of reached this plateau. So I still think we're going to see competition for some of these higher quality pieces of land, and those are going to press the upper limits. But overall, I think that we are kind of cresting that plateau, and my anticipation is that we're not going to see things drop dramatically. I think we're going to reset that new normal.
That was Farmers National Company Vice President of Real Estate Operations, Paul Schadig. For the Red River Farm Network, I'm Tyler Donaldson.
The Office of the U.S. Trade Representative has granted the Philippines over 25,000 metric tons of additional raw sugar allocations for this fiscal year. That's on top of the 1.1 million ton commitment made under the World Trade Organization agreement for the year. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Americans remain big meat eaters. The new Power of Meat report from the Meat Institute and the Food Industry Association found 80% of Americans describe themselves as meat eaters. 98% of U.S. households purchase meat. That remains steady with last year. The boomer generation, buys meat 53 times per year, the most of any age group. Gen X accounts for the greatest proportion of sales at 32%, and millennials spend the most money per meat purchase.
Livestock markets remained strong yesterday. Ag Resource Company President Dan Bossi says firm cash cattle and weather supported the livestock markets.
The cash cattle market in the north was quite strong. We've got some winter weather coming at us, at least in the northern half of the plains. That gave the cash market at least the expectation we'll trade a little higher. Beef is still relatively short, and there's demand for spring grilling season. So altogether, we saw April cattle close up about $1.30 at 188. Feeder cattle followed. The hog markets are waiting for a hogs and pigs report next week. Initial take on it is the breeding herd will be down. At least for the cattle report that's coming out later on Friday, looks like placements will be up somewhere between 5 to 7%.
Bossi says retail demand at the meat case still seems to be relatively good.
In fact, we may have a shortage of what we call the 90 grinder, the hamburger meat. We're still seeing strong demand for that. And so when we look at the markets, $8 a pound retail values across the U.S. is not causing any backup of demand. I think that's a good sign for heading into the spring. But the middle meats, steaks and stuff, really need to come along here if you're going to see these cash cattle prices continue into the lower 190s.
The Chinese Agriculture Ministry is reaffirming its support for its domestic swine industry. Despite an ongoing issue with African swine fever, the government wants to maintain stable production. China is the world's largest consumer of pork products.
During a stop in Mankato, Minnesota, Minnesota Senator Tina Smith announced two local programs are finalists for the Rural Mental Health Funding. If chosen, the Center for Rural Behavioral Health could receive up to $1 million, and the Main Street Business Focused on Food and Agriculture program could get $775,000.
Got some green on the screen this morning for everything but soybeans. Minneapolis wheat, the May contract, 656, 5 1/4 higher. Chicago wheat for May, 3 3/4 higher at 546.5. Hard red winter wheat, May, 8.5 higher. May corn, a penny better, 437. New crop gains a penny as well. May soybeans down 1 3/4 at 1186. And new crop soybeans down a fraction, down 0.75 cents at 1179 3/4. Checking in on the farm calendar, the Red River Watershed Management Board having their conference going on today and tomorrow. That meeting is taking place in Moorhead. Also, the Minnesota Farm Bureau Foundation has their Ag Day Gala. That's taking place tonight. They'll be at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds in Falcon Heights, Minnesota. And it's the Central Plains Dairy Expo starting today and continuing through Thursday. That's in Sioux Falls. They've got educational sessions, over 300 exhibitors in the trade show, and a whole lot more. That's in Sioux Falls. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.